January 22nd, The Daily Stoic, The Day in Review. I will keep constant watch over myself and most usefully will put each day up for review. For this is what makes us evil, that none of us looks back upon our own lives. We reflect upon only that which we are about to do, and yet our plans for the future descend from the past. Seneca, Moral Letters, 83.2. In a letter to his older brother, Novatus, Seneca describes a beneficial exercise he borrowed from another prominent philosopher. At the end of each day, he would ask himself variations of the following questions. What bad habit did I curb today? How am I better? Were my actions just? How can I improve? At the beginning or end of each day, the Stoic sits down with his journal and reviews what he did, what he thought, what could be improved. It's for this reason that Marcus Aurelius' Meditations is a somewhat inscrutable book. It is for personal clarity and not public benefit. Let me just say that again. It was for personal clarity and not public benefit. Writing down Stoic exercises was and is also a form of practicing them, just as repeating a prayer or a hymn might be. Keep your own journal, whether it's saved on a computer or in a little notebook. Take time to consciously recall the events of the previous day. Be unflinching in your assessments. Notice what contributed to your happiness and what detracted from it. Write down what you'd like to work on or quotes that you'd like. By making the effort to record such thoughts, you're less likely to forget them. An added bonus, you'll have a running tally to track your progress, too. A Year with C.S. Lewis, God's Remedies. And what did God do? First of all, he left us conscious, the sense of right and wrong. And all through history, there have been people trying, some of them very hard, to obey it. None of them ever quite succeeded. Secondly, he sent the human race what I call good dreams. I mean those queer stories scattered all through the heathen religions about a God who dies and comes to life again and by his death has somehow given new life to men. Thirdly, he selected one particular people and spent several centuries hammering it into their heads, the sort of God he was, that there was only one of him and that he cared about right conduct. Those people were the Jews, and the Old Testament gives an account of the hammering process. Then comes the real shock. Among those Jews, there suddenly turns up a man who goes about talking as if he was God. He claims to forgive sins. He says he's always existed. He says he's coming to judge the world at the end of time. Now let us get this clear. Among pantheists, like the Indians, anyone might say that he was a part of God or one with God. There would be nothing very odd about it. But this man, since he was a Jew, could not mean that kind of God. God, in their language, meant the being outside the world, who had made it and was infinitely different from anything else. And when you have grasped that, you will see that what this man said was, quite simply, the most shocking thing that has ever been uttered by human lips. This is from Mere Christianity. In 1959, Lewis attends the first meeting of the Commission to Revise the Psalms at the invitation of Archbishop of Canterbury, Geoffrey Fisher. Jesus Calling. Strive to trust him in more and more areas of your life. Anything that tends to make you anxious is a growth opportunity. Instead of running away from these challenges, embrace them, eager to gain all the blessings he has hidden in the difficulties. If you believe that he is sovereign over every aspect of your life, it is possible to trust him in all situations. Don't waste energy regretting the way things are or thinking about what might have been. Start at the present moment, accepting things exactly as they are, and search for his way in the midst of those circumstances. Trust is like a staff you can lean on as you journey uphill with him. If you are trusting in him consistently, the staff will bear as much of your weight as needed. Lean on, trust, and be confident in him with all your heart and mind. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. Psalm 52:8. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Proverbs 3:5-7. I'm sorry, that's 5-6.